Hey. Candid, cleaning conversations. Everybody gather round, it's a celebration. That we're still standing. Big up Katrina, she the inspiration. Came up from the bottom, she here with that motivation. Here to teach and inspire. Help you aim higher, help you dream bigger. Get what you desire. Real recognize, real iron sharp as iron. Let us grow your cleaning business. She ain't playing around, yeah, the queen mean business. So stick around, get down with a podcast. Hold it down, here we go, foot on the gas. Candid, cleaning conversation.
Hey, hey, hey. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Candid Cleaning Conversations. And today I have another very special guest. I have none other than Mario Kelly. How you doing, Mario?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I know you was at the conference. The last Clean Biz Network conference, but I didn't even get to speak to you, child. I was like, oh my God, I didn't get to touch bases with you. So I said, you know, I am going to reach out to him and make sure I get you on this podcast so you can tell your story and really just shed some light to our community. Okay.
Most so definitely.
First of all, we're going to start it off with just letting them know who is Mario. I'm sorry. Mario, who is Mario Kelly, right. And what's the name of your cleaning company, and just a backstory. Just give us a brief backstory on you.
Okay, no problem. My name is Mario Kelly. I reside in Detroit, Michigan. The name of my cleaning company is called Believe 313 Staffing, and then I also have Believe 313 Cleaning. I just started a school called the University of Cleaning the last few weeks, so that's for courses and mentorship and different things like that also. But I started in the cleaning business, let's say, in 2020. I seen there was a need for our help at, you know, due to COVID-19. I was watching a video on CNN one day, and they were walking through Wuhan, China, blowing some type of spray. And I asked them, I said, hey, I wonder what they're doing there. How are they able to be out? And we locked down. I said, well, I need to bring that here to America. So my first goal was to find out and get the electric sprayer, do some research on the CDC and find out what chemicals and stuff to use. But then I went on a cleaning rampage. My first cleaning job, it only cost me $27 to get $27 worth of supplies. But it started with a $1,500 cleaning the church, and then that turned into another church, which led to cleaning the stadiums in the city of Detroit. But we'll get into that.
Wow. So you a pandemic baby, huh? So you started in 2020 during the pandemic. That's what's up.
Yes.
You started off with specializing in disinfectant cleaning, right?
Yes.
Right.
Disinfecting churches, actually.
Disinfecting churches. There you go.
That was my first three jobs.
Right. So that's the only thing you guys did when you went out there was disinfect. You guys didn't clean no toilets or anything.
No. We went out and you know, it depends on the package that they bought, though. So let me say it like that. So I offered it the disinfectant, but if you also wanted a deep clean to come along with it, that was a upcharge. So, you know, I always tell people that, you know, when you have a cleaning business, make sure you can break down the price to if somebody just wants their refrigerator clean. So everything has its own individual price because everybody may not want their whole house clean. So we did do an upcharge as far as cleaning also.
Man, that's amazing. Now tell me about your other business. You have another one. It's a staffing company, right?
Yes, yes.
So you have a staffing company and a cleaning company.
Yes, ma'am.
How did that come about?
So after we started cleaning the churches, we just started cleaning a lot of residential houses. So everybody was called from the city of Detroit to get their house disinfected and cleaned due to the fact of COVID-19. So we started cleaning. So at this time now, it may be 5 to 6 different houses a day. So those are 2 people at each house. That's 10 people. So I had no choice but to start a staffing agency to be able to hire people instead of reaching out to like Kelly Services or other staffing agencies. I said, I might as well just go ahead. And that's just another niche of a job to make. I always feel like if we have cleaning business at some sort, you're going to become a staffing agency.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to do all these jobs yourself. You're going to have to be able to place people there. So right. in some sort, at certain levels, you become a staffing agency. So I said, let me start a staffing agency to be able to fulfill these different jobs we had. You know, getting to the summer of 2020, we were probably doing anywhere between 7 to 10 houses a day.
That is amazing. Now, explain to me. I always wondered what the whole staffing agency is all about. You know, I've won accounts before, and I was like, no, should I go with the staffing company? Are they going to tax me more? How does it really work?
So once I reached out to a staffing agency and I seen that they have an upcharge between 40 to 100%, I said, no, I might as well do that myself. So how it works is, let's just say a company reaches out to us and say they want some 10 people. We will, depends on the job, depends on how dangerous the job is. Is there any like biohazard material that they'll be working with? Is determines the percentage that I'll charge. So it's anywhere from, like I said, 40% to 100% on top of the client, the payment that you want to pay the subcontractor. So we may say, they may say, we want to pay the workers $15. So we'll add something between 40 to 100% depending on the job on top of the $15.
Oh, I see.
So, but we're responsible for the insurance, for workman's comp. You know, we just take all of that off the table of that client. You know, they don't have to pay the 401k, they don't have to pay sick day, they don't have to pay, you know, all that union and the different fees. You know, because if a person averages, say a person makes $15 for a company, it's probably averaging somewhere between 27 to 30 with all their sick days and, you know, state taxes and insurance and different things added on 401k. So we just take all of that off the table for the client.
That's what's up. So you become the subcontractor for the client.
Yes.
It's like you're the subcontractor. Okay, I get it. That's what's up. I just didn't know how much you guys would put up, or if it would even make sense for me to go to a staffing company in certain situations, especially if the bid is too low and it ain't much wiggle room in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, what y'all gonna pay the people? because we don't want no low hanging fruit. You know, we don't want guys to send us a bunch of trash because you paying them, you know, crumbs. You know,
you paying me at $10-$15. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. All right.
Well, I mean, I've been dying to ask you this question because we've been watching a lot of your interviews, and it's just one that stuck out to me. Just you talking about levels to different things. I must commend you for keeping your grace about this situation. And I already know, you know, as soon as I start talking, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But I must commend you just with how you handled the situation. In one of your interviews, you talked about what happened to you previously in, you know, your previous marriage, right?
Yeah.
And how that situation happened. I like I said, it's just blowing me away of how sane you are. Like a lot of people would not have been as sane as you. Just dealing with that, how did that help you to pivot in your current business, just being able to build relationships with people and being able to trust people?
Honestly, at first, when I first started to build the business, I had an issue with trust. You know, it kind of held me back from scaling because I was doing the payroll, I was doing the recruiting, I was doing the management, the supervising. I was trying to spread myself too thin, you know, and then really it's about more so, you know, sitting down and just telling God, you know, I'm going to put everything in your hands and just allow, send me someone who believes in my company just as much as I do. And then just really going to therapy was a major factor also of gaining trust. And then just knowing that in order to get the business where I have to get it to, I got to put the best person in that situation, because if I'm the best at everything, that means my company is weak. So I just started, you know, I have a saying now that, you know, when I hire people, you know, I hire them and then I give them some rope, you know, and the rope is to hang yourself. You know, if you're going to go act stupid, if you're going to try to steal or different things like that, you know, that's the hang yourself. So I just had to really, that situation was very, very touching and, you know, trying. But at that time, I just had to, you know, trust in God. You know, that was the only thing that got me from not chasing after, honestly. You know, anybody in America, everybody asked me that question. I was like, damn, bro, why you ain't? I understand. But at that time, I said, you know what? I got to just forgive and forget and just follow God and figure out, you know, what's my next direction.
I feel you on that. And I ain't going to just touch on the bad. I want to touch on the good, too. But it definitely made me feel some type of way. Just knowing that you were able to take something like your pain of how you feel and turn it into power. Mm-hmm. Because I love what you're doing for the youth. Your whole message behind the wristband. The rubber band. Like, I love it. Like,
there you go, man.
Like, I love it. Like, everything behind it, it speaks volume. It's different.
Maybe you should tell that story.
Yeah, so I want to hear
that. So, people that don't know you, how did the rubber bands come about?
Okay, so I was previously married in 2015, 2016, I can't remember. And my ex-wife at the time, she had got a lawsuit for a couple $100,000, you know, a little bit, you know, close to $250,000. And she was ready to do her, you know, she was ready to, like she said, hey, she wanted to travel. She didn't want to have to ask no questions or, you know, answer to no one. And I came home to an empty house and a letter and $1,500. And what I ended up doing was, if you guys remember, the rubber bands at one point in time were called "What Would Jesus Do?" Mm-hmm, you know, I said, well, you know, what's the best way I can get to $1,000,000? And I said, maybe the loose chain in people's pocket. So I came up with a saying that says, "Believe with the 313 inside of it," which is my logo. And I just went around the city and said, these are reminder bands for you to remember or to believe in yourself, to believe in your dream, believe in your purpose in life. And just really just going downtown, passing them out, taking small donations. The city council ended up getting some of the rubber bands, putting it on their Facebook page, and it just blew up to the page, to the point to where I was getting $5-$10 for these rubber bands. Now, but you have to remember at this time, when she left, you know, I had to move out the house. I didn't only have $1,500. So I'm living out my van in certain areas of the city of Detroit. But I feel like that was one of the best times of my life, man, because it built me as a man.
Yeah. And it made you humble. And guess what? If you were able to get through that, because we all know it, those moments make the best entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Because in this field here, you have to have so much grace. Yes. Okay. When it comes to clients, when it comes to employees, you know, just the business itself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to have so much grace and be humble and stick it through. So being that you didn't go crazy and end up in jail somewhere, you know, were able to overcome that. Man, that makes, I know your company is thriving. I know it is, you know, because I went through stuff too. Mm-hmm. And my people always say, man, I don't know how you able to do it. I'm like, because, man, all of the hard stuff that I had to go through in the past, this smooth sailing now, I can get through anything now. Come on, keep throwing it at
me. Most definitely.
All right. So tell me this. What differentiates you from the competition in your cleaning company? Okay, meaning what makes the employees want to work for your company and not someone else?
I make myself accessible. I feel like sometimes when we start getting to certain levels, we get lost. You know, I'm here leading by example. I'm doing the job fairs, I'm doing interviews, and I'm telling my story. I'm letting people understand that, bro, I'm no different than you. I grew up in the projects. I went to Spain. I went to the local high schools you went to. I just at one point in time figured out that the only way that the person who was going to unlock my future was me.
Right.
So I feel like I give the people in the city of Detroit hope, you know, that it's possible. If you put your mind to it, it's possible you can do it. You know, right. Don't just think that a truck gonna ride down the street and a Brinks truck is gonna crash and money fly everywhere and you get up and you run and grab it and run off. No, you gonna have to put some work in. I feel like that's the part. I know that's a two question. Two questions really. The people that make them want to work for me is really the more so I make myself accessible and I'm leading by example. I work also with them, regardless of where I'm at in life. I let them know I can't outwork you and pay you.
There you go. I love it. I love that.
And then as far as the competition in my area, I look at it more so like it's so many. It's, when it comes to the cleaning business, it's unlimited jobs. So, yeah. You know, I look at more things like collaboration over competition. You know, I can't focus on what someone else is doing because I'm trying to put another game plan together. You know, if anything, like right now, I teamed up with a cleaning company from the CBN conference called Angel. She has 819 Cleaning here in Michigan. So instead of them being a competition, I've called her for jobs. I call her for some things that I may not be able to do, some Airbnbs and different things. Just call her because everything in America, in the world, has to be cleaned at some point.
There you go.
And one person cannot do, one company cannot do it all. So it's more than enough cleaning jobs and different things out here for us all to really say, let me focus on myself because I'm my own competition.
Right. Say it again, especially for the people that come in. Mm-hmm. We've had people come in, try to steal clients.
Yes,
like, it really ain't no need, you know, especially if we coaches at this point. And, you know, we basically telling you how to do this. Like, let's work together. We can make a lot of money if we just all come together and work. If I lose an account, you know how many accounts I done lost and passed to my brother, you know, my brother, sister, cleaning company, you know what I mean? The smaller cleaning companies, I'll pass them down. Like, hey, we just lost the account. Y'all might want to go bid it. This is what y'all need to go bid it for. You know what I mean? And then they might bid for it and shoot me something. Like, we keep it in the circle. You know, you don't have to be so grimy and try to steal people's clients and stuff like that. It's crazy.
I just feel like you need to learn how to pivot in this game of cleaning because it's different phases of cleaning. You got residential, you got corporate, you got schools, you got hospital cleaning. It's different levels of cleaning. So I would tell someone right now is to focus on one area. You know, if you want to focus on residential, master that first, then move to corporations or corporate, whatever, you know, and then try to move to schools or state, you know, but focus on one
thing at a time.
Don't try to just, you know, I get a lot of people who call me like, hey man, I want to start a cleaning company. How can I get in the stadium? You know, like,
they're jumping in there.
You can't start from the stadium. You got to know what you're doing first.
And I started from that little church. You know, you got to know. And that's why I tell anyone, start with residential because that's really the hardest to me.
Yeah.
Because a person know what they've been looking at for months, weeks in their house that they won't clean. If you miss that one spot, they're going to say the whole job wasn't done.
You're right. So speaking of the stadium, since we own it, how did you get to doing the stadium? You know, you are the first person on YouTube that I've heard say that they actually specialize in cleaning stadiums. And I was like, damn, that's smart. I never thought about that.
Everybody always say they never think about cleaning stadiums. I just got another account here in Detroit yesterday. It was more so with the staffing part. I was staffing so many people and I was looking for so many people to get jobs. I was on YouTube, on Instagram or social media hiring. That Comerica Park, the Detroit Tigers, it's a company that cleans their stadium called Belfort. This is during the pandemic. Nobody wanted to work, you know, in 21. Everybody was getting, I think it was SBA and PPP loans and unemployment. So nobody wanted to work. They ended up calling me because this was like July. The season had started like 3-4 months, like in April. They had just started to allow like maybe 8,000 people in the stadiums and different things. So they gave us a call and said they didn't have enough employees. So once I went down there, we had a meeting with them. I just went and figured out what's the best way I can get some employees. I said, let me go to the project. Let me go to the homeless shelters. Let me go to the probation department. You know, those are people who I know need jobs. If you went to court or on probation, there's 100% chance in your stipulations it says must have a job.
Right.
Or, you know, it's a violation. So I went to the probation department. I was able to get 20 people at first. That first little go around, first couple weeks, we had like between 20 to 25. You know, but every time they say, hey, can you get 15 people? I was able to get 20. If they say, can you get 20? I was able to get 22. You know, so I slowly grinded up. And it just started there. And once we just grinded that season out, by the time the end of the season, we were at like 75 people. You know, and it was just more so keep investing in myself. So it wasn't like, okay, well, if I make 10,000 this week, I'm going to go buy something. No, I'm taking that whole 10 and putting it right back in payroll.
There you go.
So from 20,
yeah.
I mean, from 2020 to 2022, I've never paid myself, not one penny. Everything. And you can go look, if you go back on my Instagram and go back to the beginning parts of the stadium, you can say, hey, you can see, I'm like, hey, we're looking for 50 people to work. We're looking for 75 people. So those 75, I knew my next year when we come back to Ford Field, my goal was to have enough money to be able to pay 125 people.
Right.
But that's when I was just dumping in. So up to this point, like last Thanksgiving, we had 175 people work. So it's just really about continue to grind and keep investing in yourself.
Right. That's so phase. How do you
that's crazy.
Look, we both trying to answer the question. Look, okay, so how do you know how much to pay them and how much do you bid something like that? Like, how do you even know how to bid something like that?
So let me explain something to everyone out there. I would tell you, so if you're trying to get a stadium job, don't go for the primary contract. You want to go for the subcontract. So, and the reason why is, unless you got 10, 15 million, you know, because the equipment is going to cost, the equipment is going to cost at the minimum $300,000.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have to spend at the minimum between 10 to 11,000 a month on bags, you know, another 5 to 8,000 on gloves, 7,000 on mop heads, 5,000 on brooms. So you really want to come in as the sub where you're more so just bringing the people.
Right.
You know, but far as the bidding, like I said, depends on the job, the time, the square footage, where we may say 40%, 50%, 60%. It would more so be a factor of a couple of different things. And then also the length of the contract. So a lot of my contracts are like for 4 to 5 years. So I would give you a softer, let's say I'll give you something closer to 40% then, because it's more of a longer contract than saying a 1 year contract. Okay, that's automatic 62%.
Right. Mm-hmm. And those contracts, those long contracts, they're on a net 30, net 45, like
net 60.
So that's another thing. My main thing I'm gonna focus on is teaching people about contracts. You have to focus on, you have to understand it's a negotiation between yourself and that company. Don't be happy to be in the room, first off. Don't just be happy to be like, okay, I'm here. No, you negotiate your contracts. You have to understand people who work in stadiums are professional negotiators, because they're telling a person who's making $100 million, no, we don't want to pay you that this year. We want to pay you this. So don't feel bad to go back and forth with a negotiation. But most contracts are on a net 30. It just depends on how you can work it out. You know, some of mine are on net 14. But any of my contracts that's on a net 30, they try to work and try to get it to us fast. As long as with the stadiums, as long as we get them the time, invoices in time, we probably get them in like 2 weeks, but it's on a net 30. Texas is a headache. Texas gives you four different options. You can take a net 30. I'm sorry. You got the first option is a net 45, 60, and 90. The longer you take, the more money they give you. So if it's like a net 45, they don't even want to pay no more than like 40%. Hmm. If it's on a net 60, they may pay you 42%. Net 90.
I make you wait for the 90.
Yeah, they're trying to, it's a waiting game, man. But sometimes you gotta, you know, what I did down there was.
Hey guys, so sorry. I hate to bother you guys again, but I have to tell you about our community, okay? Tenacity Academy community full of cleaning business owners. Right now, we have over 200 members inside of our community right now, okay? You can tap into our community for free and you can join our lives on Saturday night at 8:00 Eastern, okay? Or you can join our paid program, which is $55 a month. And you can still join our lives. You can join our challenges and you can actually win cash. You can win leads. We give away money. We give away leads every week, okay? And you're able to win those challenges and those leads, okay? When you're a part of our paid community, you'll also get access to our courses. You also get access to our library for our replay library, okay? So for some people that may not have time to catch the live Q&A, we put all of the live Q&As inside of a library, and the paid community is able to tap into that library. That library is very, very valuable, okay? So all of that for $55 a month. So if you cannot afford our mentorship program, you can at least get inside the community for $55 a month and still get massive value, okay? And if not, just tap into our free community, and I'll see you guys Saturday night at 8:00, okay? But I think you guys will enjoy it. See you on the other side. Peace.
I went and just knocked it out the park the first 20 days, you know, right. Just doing it, doing it, doing it. And then I went back and negotiated my contract and said, I can't, if you want, you see the work we can do,
right.
But if you need this work to continue to be done, you got to work with me on my payments. I'm a small business. I'm a minority business. I'm not like these big 10, 20 million dollar businesses, you know? So when you show them your work ethic, a lot of times they'll negotiate with you because they need the job done. You know, Taylor Swift had 3 days in Houston, and they knew that, hey, if we don't have these people, we're not going to get this job done. And them fans is going to be on Instagram and Twitter. And
there you go.
So sometimes you got to just feed a little bit of food and then snatch it back.
Man, I know whoever had to clean up after Beyonce, boy. Woo, woo. That was some good money right there.
What?
Did you get it?
Yeah, we cleaned up after it was a whole week. She had 1,000 bags.
Y'all see the thumbnail for this.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
That's what's
Beyonce up. Had 1,000 bags of trash.
Wow.
That was different concert, different type of fans. Great shows, you know, because we had it took a week to clean up after that concert. So yeah, it took a whole week to clean up after that concert. So that was really like bringing great revenue to the city of Detroit. So it was good for everybody, you know.
That's what's up, man.
That's crazy. That's,
you know, and then I was thinking that for the longest. I was like,
It's on my Instagram page. I had a green shirt on. I was telling everybody, my saying here in the city of Detroit is throw your shit on the floor if you want to support a black business. So when you go to concerts, games, and different things, throw it on the floor. We'll get it. Don't worry about it.
That's it.
Yeah, we going to clean it up. So
I like it.
Oh, my. All right.
I just got thrown off. All right. So what are three softwares that you cannot live without? Three softwares. I mean, need or die.
You gotta have inside your company.
My invoice software is my number one software. Making sure that those invoices is being sent out. Making sure it just not that everything is being tracked for the whole year. You know, I can go back in there and see what I paid, you know, in January, how much I paid out, how much came in. So my invoice software is my number one software to go to. I have a recruiting software that I pay for that really more so looks for accounts and different things like that. what I'll do is I'll text it to you, and if you want to share it on here, it costs maybe like about $7,000 a year. But it helps you get accounts as far as for staffing. So that's really how I get a lot of my staffing jobs. You know, we also have people, maybe like 10 to 15 people working in like 5 to 7 different spots, 40 hours a week.
Pretty good.
We use that software. And then, you know, we have a typical SEO, you know, just to like track people's who comes on the page, who's on, you know, Google's looking for cleaners and different things like that. Also, I would put in there Google. You know, Google is a, everyone should have Google Business. You should be uploading pictures and updates on Google Business on a weekly basis, like it's Facebook. I get a lot of traction off of Google. The more you're active with Google, the higher you go up. When people are looking for cleaners and stuff on there. And then LinkedIn, you know, I've been on LinkedIn for about 10 years, but you know how we all are. We used to check it once a year, if that.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit more active on LinkedIn this year. And that's another site that I use as far as getting clients and contracts and different things like that.
That's what's up. I like that. Yeah, text that to me so I can put it in the chat for everybody, because I like to enlighten everybody on the softwares and just trying to give as much value as possible so they won't be bugging me for everything, because I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over. All right. So you got the next one.
Okay, so what lessons have you learned, like, just through the past couple of years where you're at right now? What lessons have you learned, and how has it transitioned into your business?
Once again, my biggest lesson that I've learned is, I have two of them. Learn your contracts in and out. Learn, you know, one word can mean four different things. And what I mean by learn them, you know, put in there what you want in there. When you go and bid for something, put in there what you want to put in there, what you want to be done, how much money you want, if you're going to pay for bags or they're going to pay for bags, you know, have everything in your contract. You know, don't go off no handshakes, no word of mouth or trust. No, put everything in black and white. It's been a couple of times where, you know, I trusted someone and just felt like, okay, she was a nice person, he was a nice person, we don't have to do a contract. And I got burned on those. And there was a couple times where I had black and white and they tried to go against it, and that's what backed me up. So having those contracts and understanding contracts is very, very important in this game if you feel like you're going to scale at a high level. Also, like you asked me earlier, is knowing your price, knowing your business, knowing how much to charge. As one of my biggest contractors was a company called Shinola. I was about to charge them $6,000 a month when they were already paying $18,000. That was because I was ignorant to understanding the pricing. This was my first time bid, my first job. I just wanted the job. So those are the two most important: is understanding the pricing, understanding the price of the building, and how to charge the client, and your contract. Have everything in black and white.
Got to. Like, if it ain't in black and if it ain't real, if it ain't in writing, that's what we say. I coach people all the time, and they be like, "Well, did you give them a service agreement?" No. But we all kind of started off like that, you know. I know I did. I don't know about speaking to nobody else, but I feel like life had to teach us, you know, getting burnt. You get burnt enough, you'll start pulling out them contracts on them confidently.
Yep.
Yeah. Pull them out. Here go the contract. Now you wrote it down in black and white.
I'm trying to tell you, especially when you got a whole staff to pay, then you start taking it a lot more serious. Like, nah, you got to sign this contract right here, okay? Because I need my monies. All right. Okay. So, since you have such a huge cleaning company, how do you deal with keeping the quality up? Like quality control. How do you deal with quality in your company?
So at every location, we have a manager and then we have supervisors. So we're paying the managers to say we pay them about $4 more than the general workers, and then the supervisors, like $2 up under the managers. They're trained. Everybody goes through a step-by-step by myself of how every job is done. Also, the primary contract holder has their own supervisors there also. So it's certain levels. So we have maybe about 3 to maybe 4 levels of supervisors and managers that's going to be at every location. Also, like I tell you, when I do the job for myself. So, and I'm being as blunt as possible. If you go in these stadiums and you steal anything, I'm coming to court in a 3-piece suit. I'm going to press every charge I can on you because I'm not going to allow nobody to mess my business up. Then also I tell them on the real side, you know, you would never get into this building without paying. You're getting paid and you're getting paid by a black company. So in order to keep this money coming, let's do the job. You know, we got to hold each other accountable. So if you see somebody in there not working and you working hard, tell them, come on, man. You know, we work for Believe 313. So for the last 3 years, that's really been working, you know, as far as just me making myself accessible, talking to the people, telling them my story, and then allowing them to hold each other accountable when they're out here working.
I love it. Now, I'll tell you one thing. With all cleaning companies, we have these things called horror stories. So on the podcast, we always ask our cleaning every now and then, we want to hear what was the most challenging moments, like the moment when you had, like, we're talking about a client right now that was just like really one of those moments, one of those challenging moments for you in your company.
It was basically when I started out. It was a residential contract I had. It was probably, it's a big house, about 2,500 square feet, 4 bedrooms. But the guy just had dog hair everywhere. He had like a husky or 2 huskies, and it was dog hair everywhere. Like, I literally had to go get a rake and rake the hair. And it was like big black garbage bags of hair. And then he also was like an alcoholic, you know, so he was outside talking junk, screaming and hollering. So I ended up like just leaving. And he went on Instagram, Facebook, making videos, talking about how I came over his house and just did him wrong. And I mean, it went on. I ended up having to hire a lawyer to do a cease and desist.
Whoa. So he never paid you for all the dog hair and scraping and stuff you had to do?
Never paid me. And then he went on social media and just like tried to bash me all on social media. Yep. Wow. But I've had also see, more of my issues is more so getting the money from the client. You know, I've had a client that like I told you, I had a paperwork and they were supposed to pay $2,500 a month for a certain job. We were going there once a week. And when they got, I allowed them to get it up like 2-3 months. They didn't want to. And then once I told them how much it was, you know, how much the invoice was, they said, oh, okay, well, let's pay you $1,000. I'm like, $1,000? No. You know, so that was another issue. I had to go back and forth to court with getting that money. So sometimes, clients, they want the job done. Then once they get the job done, they want to play with the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, all right, y'all. Y'all get ready for the cleaning industry. For everybody that just want to get into it, just know it's the nature of the game, man. You know, I'm sure y'all have those service agreements together.
Before we get out of here, Mario, I definitely got to ask you, with just being an entrepreneur, owner of a business, we know mentally it becomes challenging. Just with life be life and personal life, you got trying to deal with multiple personalities with your business. Like, what is your day to day like, and how in the hell are you staying sane, my brother? How are you doing?
I would say my wife, first off, you know, she keeps me grounded. You know, she was just in here acting silly a second ago, you know, just she keeps me grounded. And then this guy, honestly, because I, you know, even though everybody, I want to be an entrepreneur, I got to own my own business. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't want nobody out there to think that, oh, he cleaning stadiums, he good. Is that no? It's an everyday fight. It takes a different prayer every day.
Yeah.
You know, in order to keep going, you know, motivate myself, because when you get to a certain level, it's like, man, who do I go to get motivation to? You know, whose shoulder can I cry on? You know, but it's just more so just knowing that this is what God wants for me. I pray for this. So, and I understand that when we pray for certain things, it just ain't the good that comes with it. You know, I knew that me praying for one of the top staff and one of the top cleaning companies in the state of Michigan, that things like death for my employees was going to come, you know, payroll issues, people not paying on time. You know, very disgruntled employees, you know. So these are the flip side of all the positive of the stadium cleanings. But I already knew that this is what's going to come when we pray for this, you know what I'm saying? Different levels, you know, new success bring new stress. But I know that, you know, so when you really figure out that, you know, your purpose in life, and my purpose is to help, you know, I just, that's what motivates me. Keep getting up, keep pushing myself, you know, keep being very innovative, trying to start new things. Like I said, I just started the University of Cleaning. And we got a couple other things coming out also. So it's just more so just knowing that my purpose is here to help.
That's
what's up. Big ups to wifey, man, because a lot of people don't have a supportive partner. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, just dealing with everything that you deal with. It takes a strong person to be by your side to go through everything that you go through, because a lot of people are not supportive towards their partner to say, hey, you know what? I see your dream. Because a lot of the time, you got to be the giraffe in the room. You know what I mean? And just having that supportive partner can really drive you to your success. Yeah. So big up to wifey. Yeah.
But you know what I think really helps with that is she's an entrepreneur also. So she understands the struggle. When you got two entrepreneurs, and she's a very successful realtor in the state of Michigan. So when you have two entrepreneurs who understand the struggle, you know, that we ain't got no choice but to be their support. Like she had a big event when she spoke at yesterday, and I was her assistant, the cameraman, the bodyguard, you know. You know, it's just about, and then when I came to the CBN conference, she was doing any assistant that I need, or camera. So it's just about, you know, hand, like a three-man weave.
Man, oh my gosh. So we are going to wrap this up. I heard you talk a little bit about coaching. So let everybody know about the Academy, how they can, what exactly is it that you have? Let everybody know what it is and where they can find your site at.
So you can go to my Instagram page. We're actually kicking it off Black Friday. It's called the University of Cleaning. I feel like we all have to go through the College of Cleaning, you know, so it's going to be merchandise on there. It's going to show you how to go from residential to corporate, from corporate to stadiums. It talks about contracts. We can put you in, and if you need help getting contracts or setting contracts up, there's templates on the site, mentorship, one-on-one coaching. You know, it's just the whole, everything is going to be on there. Like I said, merchandise also.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. So I will be seeing you February 28th all the way to the 23rd at the CBN conference. Yes. And I believe you're going to be one of the speakers next year. So what's one of the things you're going to be speaking on?
Like I said, contracts, scaling your business. Because I really feel like a lot of people who come to the conference, or whoever's watching this, and you think that if you're thinking about starting a cleaning company, or if your cleaning company is between 24 months and younger, you most definitely need to be there. You know, it's a must, you know, because when like minds people are all in one room, great things come out, you know. And then let's just say I just started a cleaning company 6 months ago. Now I can come to you. I've been watching you on YouTube. I can ask you all the questions that I want to ask you. I can get insight. I can hang with you. You can see the type of person I am, to the point to where you may want to even do and help me and coach me and do something in my city. So, you know, that's another thing too with the University of Cleaning. We want to go to all cities and clean stadiums. You know, I want to team up with whoever's in that city with a cleaning company, and let's grow that business.
Come to Savannah.
Yeah, come on.
Come to Savannah.
Savannah, Georgia?
Yeah. Savannah, Georgia. Come to Savannah, Georgia.
Come on, let's put something together. Come on. Let's y'all work. You are.
Yeah.
We got plenty.
How far are you from the stadium, from Atlanta?
I'm 4 hours away from Atlanta.
Okay. So what about what's in Savannah? Is it some stadiums and stuff out there in Savannah?
We got stadiums, arenas. The M-Mark Arena. That's what it's called. The M-Mark Arena. So you look that up.
Yeah. So I just don't. We can do stadiums, arenas, theaters, halls. You know. So that's really.
Oh, and the other one is called the Civic Center. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. The Civic Center downtown, that's pretty big. That's where all the celebrities go at. Yeah. They're either going to go to the Civic Center or the M-Mark Arena, you know.
Yeah. So, then what about the public school in Savannah?
We got plenty of schools in Savannah.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. We're keying towards the school district, so that's a great. So we're going to have a great conversation because we got to put something together in Savannah.
Y'all need to put something together.
Man, Mario.
I like to partner with the big boys. You know, y'all just sub it on down to me because sometimes I don't be bidding right on them things. They be like, nah, we ain't take. I be bidding way too high.
That's why I asked him that question because it's hard to dictate because sometimes, you know, I think they can smell if you're fresh and you don't
and, really yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. A smaller... But, smaller people, if I give it to a bigger company, they really have the power to get that account. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they may
have capital. That's what I was about to say. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So that's really the advantage that Believe 313 has. So when we went to Houston, we changed, you know, we have Believe 713, you know, Chicago would be Believe 312. And it's all about a resume with those companies. They just want to make sure you know how to do the job. They don't want to have to fire you and go look for someone else. So when you come in and say, hey, we're Believe, what's the area code in Savannah?
912.
We're Believe 912. We clean stadiums in Detroit and Houston, Chicago. So we bring a resume. So now they're like, okay, so, and then I explain to them the process of how we clean it. Because a lot of different stadiums and theaters clean different too, but the way that we use here in Detroit, it saves a lot of time. You know, we can clean Ford Field or NRG Stadium within 10 hours of a sellout event. You know, 50,000 seats, clean in 10 hours. So once you have all those on your resume, like I said, cleaning Beyonce, cleaning 5 Taylor Swift shows between Houston and Detroit. Okay. You know, those type of things.
You're going to sell the deal.
I'm about to market.
Yeah.
I have a market for you down here.
So,
I'm like, let's
so
say
please
here.
Give everybody.
I know
everybody,
he gonna get the contract.
He got it.
Yeah.
Give everybody that's like, I need for you to be the motivation for these people. Wake these people up. Like, tell them what they need to do to get out their seat to be exactly where you at.
Yeah. For anybody that's looking at this, they want to start a cleaning company. Yes. They haven't got off their behind yet. Another year about to pass you by. As we going into 2024. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that person that is just still looking at the interview and haven't got off their behind yet?
Yes.
What do you say?
So that's 90% of it right there. It's just jumping off the mountain of faith and chasing your dream. Understand it, like, write it down. Don't just think it in your head. You have to write your goals down, write what you need to do down.
Right.
Figure out a niche, figure out where you want to go. Okay, when I first started, I said, I'm going to specialize in churches. Then the churches went to residential. I'm going to specialize in just COVID spraying cleaning, you know, and then try to take that niche and then let that grow. But just start the company. You know, most of the time we afraid. You know, because we got a job and it's security, or, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get some sales this week, or do you think I can get some cleaning jobs? Just start it. Stop overthinking and just do it.
Just do it.
You know, 90% of the time, you know, if you're a minority or if you're a woman in these different cities, we have so many different things that's going to help us. Minority certification, women certification. You know, Detroit-based businesses or Savannah-based businesses, wherever you're at, you should be able to take advantage of small business opportunities in your city. So don't just feel like when you start a business, it ain't gonna be no help. You have to go search for the resources in your city and pull it and get all that juice out of that orange. But just more so do the job. Stop complaining and work and worrying about the wrong thing. Just get up off your butt and do the job.
Oh, this candy cleaning conversation. Right. So you can say what you want. Right. But man, I'm trying to tell you, y'all are talking to a man that had faith in getting $1 million out of selling rubber bands.
Okay.
I mean, that's a powerful story all in itself. And then some people, you just think that you money, $1 million is supposed to fall in your lap. It don't work like that.
Right.
Okay.
Not
so y'all got to get off.
Not your I took 2 years and just put my head down and just tied my Skechers up and just ran. I was taking jobs from $75 to clean a refrigerator to $3,000-$4,000 to clean a building to the stadiums. I was just more so moving because I knew that I wanted to get to the point to where I want to employ 100 people, but I knew that it took a certain amount. So I had to just keep working all day, stay busy, focus on a certain area. If it's going to be cleaning houses in your area, this one hole, let's go 16 blocks, 20 blocks, put a flyer or something on every door in those blocks. You know, make that your area. You know, like one time I did for residential cleaning, I said, I'm going to take 16 blocks and I'm just going to give these 16 blocks a deal, because it's really not a deal if 4 or 5 houses be clean on one block. The next block, we got 2-3 houses. So I'm still gaining money because I'm only doing it in this area. So take advantage of certain areas and just try to be they personal cleaner, you know, in that 16 block radius, that community, that condo.
Man, you have a belief out of this world.
I mean,
you hear me? I feel like I'm talking to a future billionaire. That's that,
for real.
Like, man, that's next level right there, man. So I'm not going to hold up too much more of your time here.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
No,
I thank you so, so much for being a part of our podcast.
And anytime.
In person, February the 28th, when we go in Vegas for the Clean Biz Network Conference, you guys. Make
y'all
sure
better
you guys
show up.
Get
y'all
tickets. Y'all
better show up. Get your tickets tonight. And then what we can do for them is let's do another in live interview.
We can do one. Let me know the date and we'll set that up.
We can just say we got to see what AJ is gonna have going on first. Maybe we can do something like the 29th.
All right.
Do an in-person interview and we can just, you know, get
that's
real good and raw form.
Right.
There you go.
Hey man, Mario, if they don't tell you enough, man, we really do appreciate you, and man, we proud of you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, and may God continue to bless you, man.
I love to
family.
Hear stories like this. This has been one of the best stories on the show
thus far.
Okay, so I appreciate it, brother, and I see you next year, man.
Thank you. I'll see you guys next year at the show.
All right. You have a good one. Hey, you guys, did you miss the last Cleaning Business Conference that we had in Jacksonville? Did you miss it? Oh, my God. Don't worry, because we're doing it again. 2024, we're going to be in Vegas for the Clean Biz Network Conference, okay? Next conference in Vegas, I know you've seen the flyers. I know you're sitting back and you're going to wait to the last minute, but I advise you, don't wait to the last minute. Proper planning, okay, prevents poor performance, all right? So don't wait to the last minute. Don't wait till January and February and then start thinking about getting a hotel room. The best time, if you're really serious about getting out there, because we're going to be in Vegas, all right? And we got some heavy hitters in there that's going to be doing workshops. That's going to be definitely going to be food, going to be drinks, going to be a lot of inspiration, motivation. And most importantly, you get to be in the room and you get to network with all of your favorite cleaning business influencers online. Okay, they will be in the building. Not only that, but it's hosted by your girl. You know what I'm saying? So the last conference, man, I had a ball. I didn't even get to eat because I was up talking so much to everybody, okay? But I was so fulfilled, and I can't wait to get out there in Vegas and have a ball and do it again, all right? Remember, your network is directly connected to your net worth, okay? So get out there, network with people, stop procrastinating, and get your tickets today, all right? Click the link in bio. I see y'all in Vegas. I see you in Vegas.